Before we open God's word, let us pray. Our Father, which art in heaven, we come before thy presence with praises and thanksgiving to bless thy name and to honor and glorify thee, for only thou art worthy. Lord, we are but dust, and thou dost know our frame. And we are grateful, Lord, for thy mercy and thy pity that thou dost show unto us. We thank thee, Lord, for preserving thy word that we are going to meditate upon and read in this morning hour. We pray thy blessing upon thy word. And we would pray that our hearts would have the understanding and acknowledge, Lord, how we of ourselves are nothing, and thy word and thy truth is eternal. From beginning unto ending, Lord, thou art the same yesterday, today, and forever. We are grateful, Lord, that thou art faithful, thou art true, and that thou art the only one upon whom we can rely. So help us, O Lord, as we would open our hearts unto thee and open thy word, that we would listen to thy instruction, that thou would speak to us through thy Holy Spirit, that it would be the wisdom that is coming from above and not the wisdom from man that would fill our hearts and nourish us even in this morning hour and throughout this day. Bless us as we look to thee and be with those even that cannot be with us, for we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. With the Lord's help, I desire that we would read together from the Gospel of John, chapter number 4. I'd like to read the entire chapter. God's help.
Nadjene da se čita uz Božju pomoć iz Svetog Evanđelja po Jovanu, 4. glava. Sveto Evanđelje po Jovanu, 4. glava.
When therefore the Lord knew how the Pharisees had heard that Jesus made and baptized more disciples than John, though Jesus himself baptized not but his disciples, he left Judea and departed again into Galilee. And he must needs go through Samaria. Then cometh he to a city of Samaria, which is called Sychar, near to the parcel of ground that Jacob gave to his son Joseph. Now Jacob's well was there. Jesus, therefore, being wearied with his journey, sat thus on the well. And it was about the sixth hour. There cometh a woman of Samaria to draw water. Jesus saith unto her, Give me to drink. For his disciples were gone away unto the city to buy meat. Then saith the woman of Samaria unto him, How is it that thou, being a Jew, askest drink of me, which am a woman of Samaria? For the Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans. Jesus answered and said unto her, If thou knewest the gift of God, and who it is that saith to thee, Give me to drink, thou wouldest have asked of him, and he would have given thee living water. The woman saith unto him, Sir, thou hast nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. From whence, then, hast thou that living water? Art thou greater than our father Jacob, which gave us the well, and drank thereof himself, and his children, and his cattle? Jesus answered and said unto her, Whosoever drinketh of this water shall thirst again. But whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. But the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life. The woman saith unto him, Sir, give me this water, that I thirst not, neither come hither to draw. Jesus saith unto her, Go, call thy husband, and come hither. The woman answered and said, I have no husband. Jesus said unto her, Thou hast well said, I have no husband. For thou hast had five husbands, and he whom thou now hast is not thy husband. In that saidst thou truly. The woman saith unto him, Sir, I perceive that thou art a prophet. Our fathers worshipped in this mountain, and ye say that in Jerusalem is the place where men ought to worship. Jesus saith unto her, Woman, believe me, the hour cometh when ye shall neither in this mountain nor yet at Jerusalem worship the Father. Ye worship, ye know not what. We know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. But the hour cometh, and now is, when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father seeketh such to worship him. God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. The woman saith unto him, I know that Messiah cometh, which is called Christ. When he is come, he will tell us all things. Jesus saith unto her, I that speak unto thee am he. And upon this came his disciples, and marveled that he talked with the woman. Yet no man said, What seekest thou, or why talkest thou with her? The woman then left her water pot, and went her way into the city, and saith to the men, Come, see a man which told me all things that ever I did. Is not this the Christ? Then they went out of the city, and came unto him. In the meanwhile, his disciples prayed him, saying, Master, eat. But he said unto them, I have meat to eat that ye know not of. Therefore said the disciples one to another, Hath any man brought him aught to eat? Jesus saith unto them, My meat is to do the will of him that sent me, and to finish his work. Say not ye, There are yet 4 months, and then cometh harvest? Behold, I say unto you, Lift up your eyes, and look on the fields, for they are white already to harvest. And he that reapeth receiveth wages, and gathereth fruit unto life eternal, that both he that soweth and he that reapeth may rejoice together. And herein is that saying true, One soweth, and another reapeth. I sent you to reap that whereon ye bestowed no labor. Other men labored, and ye are entered into their labors. And many of the Samaritans of that city believed on him for the saying of the woman which testified, He told me all that ever I did. So when the Samaritans were come unto him, they besought him that he would tarry with them, and he abode there 2 days. And many more believed because of his own word, and said unto the woman, Now we believe, not because of thy saying, for we have heard him ourselves, and know that this is indeed the Christ, the Savior of the world. Now after 2 days, he departed thence and went into Galilee. For Jesus himself testified that a prophet hath no honor in his own country. Then when he was come into Galilee, the Galileans received him, having seen all the things that he did at Jerusalem at the feast. For they also went unto the feast. So Jesus came again into Cana of Galilee, where he made the water wine. And there was a certain nobleman, whose son was sick at Capernaum. When he heard that Jesus was come of Judea into Galilee, he went unto him, and besought him that he would come down and heal his son, for he was at the point of death. Then said Jesus unto him, Except ye see signs and wonders, ye will not believe. The nobleman saith unto him, Sir, come down, ere my child die. Jesus saith unto him, Go thy way, thy son liveth. And the man believed the word that Jesus had spoken unto him, and he went his way. And as he was going down, his servants met him and told him, saying, Thy son liveth. Then inquired he of them the hour when he began to amend. And they said unto him, Yesterday, at the seventh hour, the fever left him. So the father knew that it was the same hour in the which Jesus said unto him, Thy son liveth. And himself believed, and his whole house. This is again the second miracle that Jesus did when he was come out of Judea into Galilee. We learn in the scriptures that the Lord says that his thoughts are far above our thoughts and his ways above our ways. And that is true with Jesus. As he has come to this earth, as he taught, and as he lived out the practice of following his Father's will and finishing the work that he had for him, there are many things that, if we would pause to consider, surprise us. Don't fit into the mold that perhaps we expect, which we saw many times. The Jews did not expect certain things of their Messiah. Even just in the first two verses, the Lord knew that the Pharisees had heard that he was making more disciples, and the disciples were baptizing those who would become followers of the Savior. In this world and what would make sense and the ways of this world, one would think he would capitalize on the opportunity. Now he is growing in popularity and notoriety. Now is his time to apply pressure to the religious leaders to finally convince them, don't you see? But that's not Jesus' way. He's not here to pray. He did not come to pressure. He came to bear witness to the truth. He came to set free those who were in captives of the devil. And so in meekness, Jesus withdraws from Judea, avoids the confrontation, avoids what would be seen as a grand opportunity to seize the attention and force his will. But he does not. And he, it says, baptized more disciples than John. John, who was preaching and teaching and was calling out all of the people into the wilderness. And now Jesus is rising higher. And John, he's learning, I must decrease, and he must increase. John is finding out that the patterns of Jesus Christ and his meekness are the exact pattern that he must follow. But this was the time when God's promises would come to pass. This was the time, this is the moment that needed to be seized. But he only played a small part. And God's work is very important. It's more important than our jobs and our day-to-day tasks. But we only play a small part. And we would do well to listen and heed the example of Jesus Christ, which defies convention, which defies how man often thinks. To follow our Lord in his meekness and allow the power of the truth, the power of the truth to speak and to have its effect in hearts that are ready. hearts that are willing. And so Jesus leaves Judea and goes on his way back to Galilee through Samaria. And at the sixth hour, perhaps around noon, in the heat of the day, being wearied on his journey, sat at the well, at Jacob's well. And a woman comes by, a woman of Samaria, who the Jews would have no dealings with, but Jesus strikes up a conversation with her and says, "Give me to drink." They were alone. They had an opportunity to speak one with another. She asks him questions. He responds with the truth and draws her attention to spiritual things, away from the physical. "If thou knewest the gift of God, and who it is that saith to thee, give me to drink." If we but knew the gift of God and that which he has prepared for them that love him, would we leave our water pots? Would we leave the things that we are busy with at the noon hour to pursue and to seek, to understand and to be faithful unto our Lord? How much would it transform our hearts and minds if we but knew the gift of God and his peace that passes all understanding? Or if we knew who saith to thee, if we knew Jesus Christ and his meekness, if we knew our Lord, that he is the only Savior, that he is above all, and truly believed, would we not leave our water pots? Would we not leave the things that occupy us in the middle of the day and ask the Lord, "Help me to be faithful"? Ask the Lord of him for living water. Living water, that water like from a fountain that bubbles up, fresh and clean and pure, satisfying to the soul. That is what Jesus came to offer. And this brought about an interest in the woman, and she started asking about the well and how he could, but then also asked, "Art thou greater than our father Jacob?" And truly, yes, he is. He's greater than all. And Jesus made a statement: "Whosoever drinketh of this water shall thirst again, but whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. But the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life." And this is desirable to the woman. She is hoping for something like this. She does not want to come at the noon time to draw water from the well in the heat of the day. She doesn't want to have the thirst. And there are some who are struggling in deception. Satan has promised you one more chance, one more relationship, one more time to listen to him, And it will be much better in the future. And just like her, she listened. 5 times, 6 times, maybe more. And she had a thirst. But Satan kept on pushing it down, saying, no. Try this instead. And maybe she hated it. Maybe she didn't realize it. But when Jesus told the woman, go call thy husband and come hither, then it was brought to the forefront. And she was confronted with the truth about her life. And she realized he knew everything. And Jesus does know everything about each of us. He knows our struggle. He knows the things that we love. He knows the things that we're committed to. And he brings at times the most sensitive issue to the forefront. And she tries to hide. And that's exactly what man has been trying to do ever since the garden. Where are you, Adam? Where are you, my son? Where are you, my daughter? Jesus knows exactly where we are. And his truth when it comes to the forefront of our hearts and minds that we cannot escape. Begins to make a change. Jesus came to bear witness to the truth and called all men to repent and to believe the gospel, to turn away from sin and from Satan, from his deceiving lies about how good it will be in the future. And to believe the gospel, to believe that Jesus Christ has come and is doing good for mankind and delivering souls from Satan, and that he was rejected by man and hung upon a tree to die, and yet he gave his life in love for our sakes. So that we would have no reason to hide, but would come and repent, would come and believe the gospel, believe the truth of our Lord, and to leave off the idea that you have of worship. The ideas that the Jews and the Samaritans had for worship was in a particular mountain or at Jerusalem. This was the place where you would be holy. This is the place where you would be reverent. But it's so small God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. In a way, the thoughts of religion from the Samaritans and the Jews on a particular place and a particular way were somewhat complicated. But this, worship from the heart, is simple, but it is all-encompassing. It does not leave anything out. It does not say yes one day and then go and follow its own way the next. But all places are a place of worship. All places are an appropriate place for prayer and dedication and devotion to God. To worship God in spirit and in truth breaks down the walls of who is who and which place each person comes from. Even Peter, we read a few weeks ago in Acts chapter 10, said, "I perceive that God is no respecter of persons. But in all nations, those who fear him and work righteousness are accepted of him." It's simple, but it's all-encompassing. It's a complete dedication and a complete surrender that the Lord is calling us to. And the Father is seeking such to worship him. That would be genuine. That would be contrite. That would know that it is God alone who receives the worship and the glory, because he's worthy. The woman believed that when Messiah would come, he would tell us all things. And Jesus confirmed to her, "I that speak unto thee am he." Jesus Christ is the one that mankind had been waiting for. Jesus Christ is the one whom all the prophets testified, saying, "Whoever believes in him shall receive remission of sins, to be forgiven and to be cleansed." And upon this, the disciples came, and the woman left her water pot and walked away. With these thoughts in her heart, to ponder upon, to meditate all the walk home. What does this mean for me? How should this affect my life? What would God have me to do with this truth that has been shown? Does he expect a change? Can I keep this to myself? And by the time she got home, she told the men of the city, "Come see a man which told me all things that ever I did. Is not this the Christ?" She believed. She was convinced. And now she was sharing. She was spreading the message of the gospel. And then they went out of the city to come and see what had happened. And while she is going through her journey of considering the words of Jesus Christ, the disciples come and they're talking with Jesus and they're asking him and urging him, "Master, eat." And again, we find an example of how Jesus does something surprising, unexpected. Whenever food comes up, it seems like there's some spiritual connection that Jesus makes. You remember when the disciples brought, after the breaking of the bread and the fish among the multitudes, they went into the ship and Jesus told them, "Beware the leaven of the Pharisees." And the disciples were agonizing and thinking, "Oh, it's because we forgot to bring bread." Jesus says, "No. What are you thinking about the physical food? Beware of the leaven of hypocrisy." And so the disciples are again thinking about this physical food that they had brought. And Jesus says, I have meat to eat that ye know not of. And he says, my meat is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish his work. To do the will of him that sent me and to finish his work. And we see in Jesus Christ, in his life, his devotion and dedication to serving his Father, to listening to how he would have him to speak, how he would have him to live. And then in John chapter 17, as he prays unto his Father, he acknowledges, I have finished the work which thou gavest me to do. And now, O Father, glorify thou me with thine own self, with the glory which thou had, which I had with thee before the world was. The meat of Jesus was to do his Father's work. And when the work was done, he gave his life. And he told his disciples, this is the kind of meat you don't know about yet. You're not aware. And how true that is. How unaware and how much needs to be sought out in prayer regarding the will of God. And the work that he has for us. But Jesus has promised that the Father knows that you have need of the food and the raiment, and he will provide. And same thing for the spiritual. God knows that we need to know his will and to do his work. And it's challenging to me, and I hope you can see perhaps on your own. Is that my meat too? Is God providing me his meat to do his will and to do his work? Is that what sustains me? Is that what I feed on, and then when I'm done, I will go on? It's a very different way of thinking of the meaning of life. To have that which nourishes and provides for us be the spiritual, to be the will of God, to have that hunger and thirst for righteousness. And perhaps we need to ask the question, what is it that the Lord has me for this very short time upon this earth? What is his will? And have I finished his work? Jesus, in another place, exhorted the disciples to pray unto the Lord of the harvest, that he would send laborers into his harvest. But these are the disciples. They're the ones that are going to go. Why doesn't he just say, go? But he encouraged them to pray. To be in prayer that your heart might be invested and be changed and have that desire to do the work. One whose spirit is truly ready. Don't just go and thrash about, but pray to the Lord. Seek his will, seek his guidance. Ask him first to have those spiritual eyes, and he may show you something you did not expect. Something perhaps you don't see very commonly around you. But he will show you to obey the Father, to hear his word, and to love him with all the heart and soul, mind and strength. Amen.